Albert, thank God, I'm a lesbian. And you're from the south of France and you're from?
Toronto.
Toronto. Okay, thank God I'm a lesbian. Where is the title from?
In fact, the title comes from my mother. She saw the film 3 weeks before we were deciding on a title. And she wrote down this little list, and on the list was, thank God I'm a lesbian. So of course, Dominique and I said to her mother, you did not come up with that name, that's ridiculous. And then she remembered a line from the film, which is from Dion Brand saying, thank God I became a lesbian. She produced it, thank God I'm a lesbian. And we laughed at first and we thought, oh, we can't really use that, but it's funny and we like it. And all the titles that we came up with were so didactic.
Like
I call myself a lesbian. I mean, woe is me kind of titles, like lesbians in life and things that you really like, you'd never want to see the film. So that ended up becoming the title, even though there were not a lot of people that disliked it. Internationally, the people that we talked to, they loved it. And certainly film festivals seem to be very happy with the title. There are some lesbians who are not very happy with the title.
Because of?
That's a mystery on its
own. No, I think it's because of the religion things. Mm-hmm. But I think, thank God, the state of Canada, it's more kind of something who have nothing to do with religion, actually. But some people still listen to God and feel really offense to put God and lesbian in the same
sentence.
Yeah. And other people feel like it's excluding heterosexual women, and that's some reaction we have from heterosexual women before they think about, and after all they find that it was okay, and especially after having seen the film. But first they feel like it was excluding them. And we always say that it's not a film we want to exclude anybody, but that was their first feeling. But he get corrected after.
I think there are some people too that don't like the title, who, I don't want to call them professional lesbians, but in a sense they are professional lesbians. And I think that they think of themselves as very renegade. And that title kind of negates that, because it means I'm happy being a lesbian. Tough shit. It's kind of like a fuck you, who cares? And I think that they think it's still sacred. So there's been a little bit of a problem there, but not much. Overall, people think it's amusing. And
it's definitely catchy.
Yes.
And the way it's expressed, too, in the film, it's a sentiment that many of us would express.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God. So who are some of the women in the film, then, just for those who haven't seen it? And oh, the list. Prominent women. That's how it's the blurb is.
The term prominent, it's a little funny, but
that comes from the festival. The person.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
But to begin with, by alphabetical order, then we already named Dion Brown, which is a poet, a writer, a filmmaker. She just did last year. Sister in the Struggle for NFB.
And she's the one who says, thank God I became
lesbian.
Yeah. What island does she come from? She comes from the Caribbean.
Yeah, from Trinidad.
She's from Trinidad.
Yeah.
And she's been here for about 15 years. And she's actually has a tenured position at Guelph University teaching poetry.
Oh, really?
Which is kind of exciting.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's quite feisty. Nice. But everyone is, and if I say that to the first one, I don't know what I will say to the last. Anyways, always by alphabetical order, the next one is somebody I think you know in Montreal, because it's Nicole Brossard, and it's the only one which is speaking in French too.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, I don't think we have to present Nicole more than that, because there are so many things to say.
Well, just as a to give an idea of who's in it.
Yeah.
But people will have to go see it themselves, I think.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Let them decide for themselves.
Yeah.
Then we have Julia Creed, which is a queer theorist.
Oh, yes.
Which is a teacher too, and which is actually organizing a queer conference in Toronto for next May, and very interesting. And she is one of the one who takes the problem on bisexuality and things like that, which are very controversial, but she's extremely courageous. Then, by now, Chris Burchell, Chris Burchell, you want to present?
You're going in alphabetical order, and I think you leaped over three people. But anyways,
because I'm not.
Chris Burchell was one of the writers and one of the founders of the Body Politic in Toronto, which was pretty incredibly radical paper at the time. And there's Li Bui-Ming, who's a jazz pianist from Hong Kong. His background is very interesting. And Becky Ross, who's also, I think she's the first woman to get a PhD in lesbian history or something to do with lesbianism anyway. So, and she's teaching at the University of Toronto. And Laverne Manette is a native lawyer who works in the Ombudsman's office in Toronto. And Sarah Schulman is a Jewish American writer who most people are aware of. And Chris Phibbs works for Kyle Ray. He's the first municipal official, I think.
MPP.
Gay, openly gay MPP
in Toronto.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Elected in Toronto.
Yeah.
And before that, she was in charge of the 519, which is the gay and lesbian center, cultural center in Toronto.
Mm-hmm. And?
And we have one French woman, which is Christine Delphi, which is a very funny woman and a very well-known feminist because she is one of the mother of the French movement and I would say the French feminist movement more than lesbian because I don't think there
much
are any
so.
Lesbian movement.
Definitely the
femmes. Anyway.
So, okay, you gathered these women together, or is that the last of them?
No, we've got one more person, which is Janelle Layou, and she is a professor at the University of Toronto, and she's just come out in the last couple of years. She's 58 or 59.
Oh, the older
woman.
Right. And she's in fact the younger lesbian.
The youngest
there.
Lesbian.
Because she only
came out 3 years ago.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And not only coming out, but realized that she was.
Yeah.
Not only that, but immediately she had such a open about her life, and she's very.
That was an extremely touching or funny story, touching and funny. The story she talked about, you know, being the old crones walking down the street and people just couldn't believe what her and her girlfriend had just done in bed.
After a wild night.
Wild night of
lovemaking.
Wonderful. Now, how did all these issues, I guess I'm wondering, well, for one thing, what I noticed on the cassette is that it said short version.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a longer version.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the short version is 55 minutes, how long is the long version?
Actually, the long version is only another 5 minutes.
Oh.
That's it. We decided there was a part that we had on lesbian literature, which I really like, Dominique really likes, and a lot of lesbians who are writers like that section. We found that it wasn't as accessible to
right.
all lesbians.
Right.
And so we remove that, and that will go into another cassette version, probably for women's studies courses. There are a lot of universities that have asked for the film.
Oh, okay.
And that's appropriate there, but it's not really appropriate at a film festival.
That's a good time. Idea.
Yeah, so just removed it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What I found actually quite refreshing was that these were, okay, I know it says prominent women, that's, I'll use that word, prominent women, but the thing is they're all articulate and they've obviously all thought about these issues, and so the responses are very concise, very clear, the words used are articulate. It's just, it was, I guess what I'm trying to say is that sometimes in festivals there's this genre of video or film made by women lesbians that are kind of this support group variety, mm-hmm. consciousness raising, and so you've got a lot of people having revelations, expressing themselves for the first time, and that's good, that's part of their process, but at the same time as a audience member, seeing too many of those films, there's a point at which I just think this is good, but I don't really want to watch this. This, however, was totally different. I thought I was interested in knowing what their opinions were
mm-hmm.
on something that they had thought about, something that were issues in a lesbian feminist context, and
mm-hmm.
must have been really interesting for you two to. How did you kind of get the ball rolling here? How did you get them talking? And
that was easy. They're all used to speaking, that's not a problem. But because we were working in film, we decided very quickly that we had to have women that were used to answering these kinds of questions because film is just too expensive. So we were able to roll...
A very practical reason.
Very practical reason, exactly. So we were able to do a 35, 40-minute interview on film, whereas if you had done something with people that weren't used to speaking, you would have to have gotten somewhere around 2 hours. So it was really a practical thing. And we also didn't want to give role models, quote unquote. We wanted to give images of women. We weren't trying to build the characters.
Right.
We were really trying to give the opinions of these women, and really, not a lot more. Therefore, we weren't trying to go into whether someone liked to play tennis or liked to go shopping, and all the cutaways don't involve these women. Cutaways involve shots from the gay project. Some of them have to have been there, but we weren't looking for their life stories in this. And so, therefore, it was really a film talking about issues. And we had to have women who had thought about those issues. Otherwise, it would have been a massively expensive project.
And too rambly and ultimately less accessible, just because there would have been...
Yeah. We also had a great editor, we have to say. A fantastic editor who is a lesbian. And Geraldine Peroni. And I think that made a big difference, too. I think that one should never underestimate the powers of a great editor, because she can certainly speed up the conversation a lot.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And the backgrounds were quite nice.
Mm-hmm. That, yeah, that worked.
And the dissolves. And yeah, I thought the editing was really nice, actually. And it took the talking head genre into just a slightly other place.
Mm-hmm. We hope so.
Yeah.
So.
It was really, really, really watchable. Now, the issues, okay. There were a wide range of them, and what were the most interesting?
The most controversial was definitely bisexuality. That surprised me, actually, because...
What did you think?
I personally had some thoughts about bisexuality before I interviewed them, and I think my own ideas really changed while I was interviewing these women, but for me it was the topic that was most answered emotionally, and also from all the people that we interviewed, probably the most dishonestly, because people really had a hard time telling the truth about this subject. And I think either because they had been ostracized before because they had said something and more positive about bisexuality. And I think that there's one woman, Julia Creed, that speaks honestly about bisexuality in the film.
Right.
And she's been fried for it. Not necessarily through our film, because this is something that she had spoken about before. And it's surprising to me that people actually care. I think someone's sexuality is their own choice, and whatever they want to do is fine with me. People were really against bisexuality. Not just people that are interviewed in the film, because there's the two sides in the film.
Yeah, definitely.
But all the people, other people that we interviewed as well, there was just this really emotional thing that I think is a leftover thing from the early feminist movement, where to be a bisexual is to be a traitor. And that certainly appears in the French movement and appears in the Canadian American movement as well. But I think that time has passed.
Mm-hmm. So you think that's where it stems from? There's still that.
I think, in fact, bisexual is something who began to appear only in the last 5 years, because I never heard, at least in the gay movement in French, bisexual. It sounds like now there is something new, which is the bisexual movement who want to be with the lesbian and gay movement and not create a movement of their own, because sometimes they come from the gay movement and they have to be part of the creation of that movement. They don't want to feel that they are excluded now. And I think it's a new thing, which evolved around the liberation of sexuality, and you know, then you have to choose, and now those people don't want to choose, and why not?
Yeah, and that's where the word queer is coming from as well. There's the interest in inclusion of people who call themselves bisexual and who, I think, find themselves in a bit of limbo sometimes. They've always considered themselves part of a gay and lesbian movement, and yet they're not necessarily identified or identifying themselves as gay or lesbian, so they're bisexual, so it's another word that has to be tacked on, which makes a club name sound really long, you know, lesbians and gays of, lesbian gays and bisexuals of.
Yeah.
So queer, I think, is a pretty catchy word.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about queer? I'm just curious.
I don't like the absence of gender, but I certainly like all the issues that it's bringing up. Like, I like the fact that it's there. I'm very happy with that.
For me, it's another issue, because queer, for me, even heterosexual, when they don't recognize themselves in the stereotypical heterosexual, can ask to be queer and be recognized as queer, then for me it's another thing. And for me it's very important to pose first that I'm lesbian, and the lesbian in the only world who have no masculine, you know. You can be a lesbian. You are a lesbian, and everybody knows that you are a woman, and then you are homosexual, and you know. Then I like that word. That's the world I want. Then if I don't see that word, I feel excluded. And queer, it's a big thing, and I like that exists. But for myself, I'm a lesbian.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think too, there are so many lesbians that can't say the word lesbian. And I think that to go, I love what's happening with the whole queer thing, and Julia Creed says she's a queer theorist in the film. And to me, there's a great amusement, which I like. It keeps me, I don't know, it's exciting, actually. It's very exciting what's happening. But at the same time, I really have a problem seeing women who are in their 40s and 50s and 60s who can't say, I'm a lesbian. They want to hide behind the fact that they're gay, I happen to be with a woman, or whatever. And I just feel that they're so, in cores of cities, of course, it's a completely different thing. But if you start to go out to Sault Ste. Marie and Temiskaming and further north and to a lot of small towns, it's really, lesbian is a difficult word for most people to say. And that's mm-hmm. just something that's still there, and that has to happen, I think, before we can all become queer, personally. That's
right. Here in Quebec, there's Francophone lesbians. Well, from the ones I know, the sentiment generally is that they're not wild about the word lesbian. They're getting used to it, and it's becoming more of part of their language. But there's a lot of identification as a femme homosexuelle, femme gay.
Yeah, but I think that what the fact that we decide since the beginning that the word lesbian have to be in the title of the film was because we know how difficult it is for women to accept that they are lesbian, you know, and they want to hide with gay, who looks like more, you know, it's a little cloud, and I don't want to condemn anybody who don't mm-hmm. reclaim that. That's not the point. But I think to put that word and to have that in a title in a way gives a way to be more easy with the world. And you know, it's very funny when you see a guy saying, "Oh, I saw Thank God I'm a lesbian." I think that's wonderful.
It's wonderful when the film was presented at the Festival of Festivals, because the guys were having to say, "And here's the film, Thank God I'm a lesbian." And they would blush, but it was really nice to see, because they did a great job, I have to say.
Yeah, and you know, you've hit on a really magical title here, because you're making people express a sentiment and use the word lesbian, and it's the name of the film, so people, all sorts of people have got to say,
yeah,
God, I'm a lesbian, and it's hilarious.
What film?
it's really funny.
Yeah. So the film itself is not so funny, I don't think.
No.
There are amusing moments. But it's not a comedy. That's for
no,
sure.
It's not a comedy. But it's riveting viewing, mm-hmm. even on a little TV. As I was watching it, it's just, and again, you know, just to say again that to hear really well thought out opinions on things is interesting. And so as we go from woman to woman, it's like, oh no way, I didn't like what she said, or I didn't agree with what she said. Yeah, that's good. And we go to another one. And the SM thing was interesting too. You know, some of the women were just clearly, I don't understand, I don't want to know about it, and that's it. And then you had, don't remember her name, the lawyer?
Laverne Monette.
Yeah, who had very concrete reasons why she felt the way she did, and Dion as well. Very concrete. Others were more ambiguous. Yeah. And
Becky Ross?
The one with the short blonde hair.
Becky Ross.
Right. I thought what she had to say about the performance aspect, and also Julia,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The performance and the dangerous and exotic quality about within lesbianism, another kind of sexuality or another tangent of that. And
it was very varied.
Mm-hmm.
Very varied. And we found that the women of color certainly came down on a position where they were pretty against S&M. But they had very concrete reasons.
And historical, that the context is everything.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. It was a pretty fiery part, too.
Yeah. So did you interview them all separately, I guess?
Yes.
In studio and separately. And we have kind of a typical questionnaire, and we knew that we would have to ask a core of the same question to everyone, and then very specific question oriented to what we knew of this one, what was her work, what she liked, what was her, you know, intellectual or her writing, or specific question. And after we did the montage, the editing, using those that core of same question and trying to see who was exposing what.
And actually, content-wise, it was very easy to edit together because it was so divided into sections. But to actually get it so that it was fair to each woman and it wasn't accusing for people because of their thoughts, that took a long time. The refining of the edit took an enormous amount of time. The actual edit, the blocking and putting things together was actually very simple.
In fact, the most difficult was to have so diverse opinion, which and nobody being the one who delivers the truth, and no bad and not good,
yeah.
It's only everyone, and respect everyone in the documentary. It's very difficult when they are so diverse.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we intend to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we also did the studio interviews as well, and interviewed them separately because we were able to go into a studio and do 4 interviews in a day. If we had tried to do the Cinema Verite and gone to somebody's house, and we would be in debt forever. And this way we were able to do a whole chunk of stuff. Although stylistically that was also the style that we wanted, but it was a great money saver for anybody that's trying to do that kind of documentary.
Right.
So we only had, in total, we had 7 shooting days.
Yes.
Which is very, very short for a documentary. That's
Yeah. And part of it, again, like the style being with the backgrounds, and it was very, very simple, very stark almost, but taking it out of the home is also a refreshing take on the documentary because, well, like I was saying earlier about the consciousness-raising type of video, also taking place at the home, sometimes it's just a bit, it's too homey. Mm-hmm. It's just, I don't know what the word is exactly.
Well,
but
I always look to see what books are on their shelves, so my head's always cranked over and I go, what's she reading?
Yeah. It's too much
really
of an investigation
listening.
Into the personal life, maybe.
Yeah, there are a lot, whereas we really wanted the woman to talk for herself, and that's it. And we really didn't even want to show her body.
Right.
We wanted to eliminate gazing, I guess. We just wanted somebody to have to focus on what was being said, and I think we pulled the images really close to be able to do that. Actually, we saw Marlon Riggs' documentary yesterday, and it was interesting because he used that same type of technique, although the whole film, which is a wonderful film, I should say, and No Regrets.
Je ne regrette
pas. Great film. Just like quite smashing.
It's a video.
It's a video.
Then you can have some technique, which are
quite
interesting
different.
Too, because you know, from video to cinema, there are things you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's interesting, but it's the format, talking head with very big head, you know, and everything about the talking
the
and the
big
thought.
Head documentary.
Well, I mean, you're focused then on what the women are saying.
Yeah, the issues. Yeah.
And I mean, if you're not interested, okay, you're not interested, but if you're interested, you're going to listen.
Yeah.
And what about the collaborative aspect here? The two of you working together. How long have you worked together? And
since we started this film.
This is the first one. First project.
It's the first project together. It's been great.
Yeah.
It's been fantastic, actually. You don't need to have the same type of ego, I don't think, when you're a partnership.
You have to have healthy egos, but
you don't have to be. I just find it very supportive. Very, you know, one person can have a low day and the other person, you just can really balance, you can talk about all kinds of things.
I have nothing to add.
I love it. I think that there are a lot of collaborations happening in Toronto right now.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of team filmmaking with women.
Yeah.
Because women don't get the same type of money, financial support, and you don't get the same kind of support. Matter of fact, you get a lot of negative feedback. Nobody thought that we could do a film without a voiceover, which is absolutely ludicrous. I mean, I can't see them saying that to a man. Whereas they're saying to us, I'm not 22 or something like that, but I've never seen a documentary, but to be able to tell me that I can't have a grant because there's no way I can do it without a voiceover, I personally needed the support of another person to go, do you believe this? To actually be able to combat a lot of the negative stuff that you get from a lot of people, not necessarily the granting agencies, because generally they were great.
Mm-hmm.
They were really supportive and surprisingly supportive, actually. And a lot of straight people helped us with this film, and certainly a lot of lesbians helped us as well. But it wasn't a film just made by lesbians by any means, although technically we tried to hire lesbians. But the support and even some of the money, a good friend of mine's mother lent us $5,000. mean, she's not a lesbian. It just was really great. It mobilized a lot of people, but in terms of working together, it was great. No regrets. Je ne regrette rien. Thank you, Marla.
Okay, but perhaps we have to add that we are lovers too,
yes.
And it's, well, but it's easiest. But
well, some would say, some would say
yeah,
opposite.
Yeah, that's true. It can be difficult, and a lot of relationship can be wrecked because it's, you know, professionally it's something, and sentimentally it's something else. But in our case, I think it worked quite okay.
We didn't disagree on everything, just most things.
Yeah,
but that makes
and
for a better film.
You know. And sometimes we march out of the set and say, okay, I'm not happy with that, I want you to say something here, because, you know, then we argue and then we come back and we are very smiling and we agree and we find the way.
Yeah. And it was actually, it was interesting because the editing process, I think, was a lot faster as well because we had a third lesbian.
Okay.
It's not a third partner, sexual partner, a friend. And because of that, we decided we're going to have a democracy in the editing room. And so therefore, when two people really agreed strongly, the other person was to back off. And even though you could come back and disagree afterwards, things were definitely got changed weeks later. It went fast, much faster because there were the three of us, mm-hmm. I think, than if it had been just the two of us, mm-hmm. or one of us solo, mm-hmm. doing the film.
Sometimes the consensus thing is hard, I've found, just because everybody has to compromise. And and maybe your final project is then nothing that anybody is really, really, really excited about because there's little bits. So I guess this democracy aspect of, you know, that's, I mean, at least you get some solid feelings in there about we really want this. Two of us really want it. So,
you know, it's funny because we have to talk about a new time about bisexuality because that was a.
That was a
place.
Tricky one.
Oh, in the editing too, then.
Yeah. And in the editing, you know, at one point we take out something which was very important for me and which I really want to be expressed. And I wasn't there that day. Then I came back and I said, oh my, I'm not happy here, you know, because that is very. And but I knew they had done the decision. And I always keep in my mind that we will have to come back because I was really, and I will not precise what kind of argument was in that special issue, but finally, one month later.
She was right.
Uh-huh.
See, we're different.
Yeah, but you know, there are something in the process of editing, you know, which it's even for yourself, you need that, and there are a lot of things. It's those women who speak so well. In fact, I've some kind of a very little specificity which you leave until really the last time because it's funny because you like to laugh with them in a way, and then at the last time, now it's a real edit, then you catch that, and when the real edit came, we had back that little comment and we felt like it was, you know.
Going back to what you were saying, even though we went by democracy, I think in the end, I have exactly the film that I wanted to make.
And
I think
so.
Yeah, in the end, it worked fine because I think that people argued enough that you were able to get to the end of it. And so I don't ever even feel that there were the compromises that were made. In fact, I think generally, almost all the time, I could see the ones that they agreed upon that I didn't disagree. In the end, I think I thought they were right.
Right.
And I don't think they convinced me. I think that they had a valid point, that because of my experiences in my past or whatever, I was just didn't see it in that kind of way. And in fact, it's interesting. Uh-huh. But I think that's a rare threesome uh-huh. in terms of editing something together. We just had a good, she had very little time. We had very little money. So I think that out of necessity, it had to be a cohesive kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Yeah. I did. That once with three people. We were three as well, and that's the same process we use, more or less. We decided that we weren't going to try to agree on every single issue, mm-hmm. but it would be more of a, yeah, we'll see who's where and have a little vote, and then you move on to the next issue, and so you do end up getting what you want
you
for certain
your film.
Things, and
yeah.
you end up with yeah. three of you, I mean, all participants. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We felt that we got what we wanted, so mm-hmm. it's nice to hear that you also felt like
yeah,
got what you wanted. Yeah.
Does it work?
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes I guess it's up to the individuals who are working together to determine what. In fact, the rules are never mind what.
Mm-hmm.
you know, other people figure the rules should be, but...
We were super organized as well. I mean, we had to be because we didn't have very much money, so the film was very planned out from the very beginning. We just didn't have the finances to dilly-dally around. And I think that made the edit a lot easier as well.
Who did the interviewing? Both of you?
Both of us, yeah.
I did the French, and she did the English, mostly. Even if the French are speaking English, they were interviewed by a French, you know, it's just a convention.
And they, was it hard to get the well, I guess it wasn't, I guess I'm just wondering at the participants, were they quite enthusiastic about expressing themselves like this and talking about all these issues, or were there some things that maybe they were more reluctant to talk about? And
only bisexuality.
Except the bisexuality.
No, I think SM too. Some people didn't want to express anything about that because they felt like they didn't want to touch that subject, and we respect that. And you know.
But at the same time, you did get something from all of them about it.
Not on every subject. No. But I mean, you wouldn't necessarily notice that by watching the film. Not every person is included in each section.
Right. Yeah. Pretty close, I guess, but not quite.
Not quite.
Yeah.
In fact, we have 11 women.
11 women, and maybe 7 would talk on each subject.
Right.
Sometimes all of them, sometimes very few of them. And everybody wanted to talk. It was no problem. People are dying to talk. And I think that was the thing that was the most exciting about making the film, was there was never, certainly a few people turned us down. They didn't want to be in the film. But even then, they want you to still stay and talk for another 4 or 5 hours with them, which is wonderful. There's a lot to talk about. There are a lot more films that need to be made, like the film that we're making in different styles, because there's just not enough out there. We're all starved for information and
communication. Especially about lesbian today, because we have kind of a look and a volonté to see back and to see back our history, our story. But I think there's a time too where you have to consider what's the point now of lesbianism, which is very different from what it was even 10 years ago. And that's what we try to do in that film, was to see where we are now.
Mm-hmm. And that was expressed really well by several of the women, in terms of, you know, coming out in 1975 and coming out now is a whole different experience.
Yeah. Completely.
So what's next? What are you two, working on next?
I've got a huge debt, so...
Oh, really?
Once we solve that...
Actually, I just wanted to talk a bit more about the money factor, where you mentioned that granting agencies were supportive and...
Very, do you want to know specifically?
Well, if you want. I'm just curious if...
Yeah, I think it's a good thing to say, because I think when women are looking for money, I think the financial aspect is really very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the film started in France, and we got the first tiny bit of money from a French lesbian who had her own money and just decided that she thought the project was a great idea. So she gave us the money to actually begin. So we did a couple of interviews with that, and then we quickly realized that there was no more money in France, that I'm not a French citizen, and that Dominique didn't have the educational background in film to be able to get money in France. It's very elitist, to put it mildly.
And besides that, we have to be clear, I don't think French is, we say, you know, mûr, rape to do lesbian movies,
no,
and
not at all.
Lesbian subject. It's not really something which is, they want, for example, in TV to have lesbian subject, but then it's that old way to go, oh, poor dear, after all, they are like everybody, you know, then a lesbian have to be in couple, they have to be poor, and that way the media want to be interested in them.
But if
they
are
some tragic end.
Exactly. Even if it's not tragic, but you know, you want to have some, you want the viewer to feel good with you, but not that you feel a little superior to them. That's not the way. Then I think French is not for that yet.
And never mind a film with the title.
No.
Yeah.
We didn't tell funding agencies here the title until the end.
Okay.
Yeah, so yeah. We also got money from the Ontario Arts Council, Ontario Film Development Corporation, the Toronto Gay and Lesbian Appeal, and Explorations Canada Council came through the week before the film was supposed to show at the festival. Thank God.
Really?
Yeah, that took a long... It's funny because Explorations should have been the easiest one, I think, to get. And in fact, for us, it was the hardest. Don't ask me why. I have no clue.
I think they contest our aesthetical choice, which was to have...
Talking head.
And they don't want that. They prefer something experimental. And we decide that we have something, a message to be heard in that film, and that we couldn't go by experimental way. We want face of women who are talking, and they didn't agree on that technique, and then they censor financially the project. But finally, I suppose when we got accepted in the festival of festivals, I think that they had to put a little contribution, which was really essential at that point.
We were very persistent. Yeah. I think that's one thing, that if women are looking for money for films, the persistent factor, and that's why working together is an easier thing. You just have to be so solid about the fact that you're just going to keep doing it, you're going to apply every single time, and you're just not going to take no for an answer. I think too many women take no as a no forever, whereas I think no is a no today, but tomorrow may be quite different, and I think that women are not used to that. And we just said, forget it, and we just kept applying. And I think there's a certain guilt factor after a while that happens somewhere along the line. And people start to help, and people do start to contribute. And it's not like there was a lot of convincing to do, because it was all by paper, all these grants. It was just a question of every time we just hand more of it in, and more information, and more footage. And we also got help by the PAPS program, which is part of the National Film Board, and they processed the footage, and they were very helpful. Very, very helpful. So it really was a combination of, that's actually quite a bit of funding for a film, quite different sources of funding for the same film, mm-hmm. especially when it's a small, very small budget film. So mm-hmm. yeah, I think all in all, it wasn't enormously difficult to get the money, but it required a lot of stubborn persistence.
It sounds like it, yeah. yeah. And this is an issue that comes up a lot when talking with women in film and video, just the money thing. Mm-hmm. Where does the money come from, and on top of doing a film, or a video, what other jobs are women doing off to the side that have nothing to do with what in fact they actually want to do, but you know, how do women survive? Where do they get money to
I'm
do
a supply
stuff?
Teacher for the Toronto Board of Education.
There you go.
Yeah. I think everybody
has got some other
maybe not
job.
Everybody, but most people have another job. I waitressed for years. And we've done a lot of things. We painted a restaurant for free food for a year.
really? That sounds like a good deal.
We could only have hummus and tabbouleh. But it was very good hummus and tabbouleh.
It was extremely healthy.
And the bread. Yeah, it was very healthy. So we were vegetarians for a year. And so you end up doing all these, and all kinds of exchanges.
I paint a lot.
Yeah, you did a lot of painting.
Yes.
She painted someone's apartment for 2 weeks, who wrote all the grant proposals for us, and...
you know, you exchange work.
Oh, yeah, that's great! Yeah, the barter system.
Oh, yeah. A lot of bartering.
Very creative. Yeah.
I don't know about creative, it works.
Well, I mean, a creative system of, you know, yeah, okay, we don't necessarily have money to exchange, let's exchange something else.
Yeah, we were not trying to take a lot of freebies. We were not trying, all the women on the film that worked in it, who weren't great personal friends, were paid, and paid well, in fact. And, I mean, certainly the going rate for whatever was being done. And that was good. That was a very nice way to work. I think that you have to be a lot stronger to ask for everything for free. And I didn't have that strength.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just couldn't do that. So we did some supply teaching and painting and cooking and
gardening.
A lot of gardening. Yeah. With someone else.
I think I moved to borrow a lot the car. Of hers.
And you got some funding, and so all things put together, you had a small budget and an organized plan.
Yeah. So it can be done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be persistent and. Can be done, mm-hmm. At least in Canada, because I don't think there's a lot of place in the world, and we have to give homage to Canada. There's not a lot of place where you can find funding for that kind of thing.
That is very true. I don't even think in the States you could make the film, the kind of film that we just did in Forbidden Love, which was just made by the NFB. I mean, there's just no way you could get that money together in the States unless you came from a wealthy family. I mean, you had an inheritance or something like that. It just doesn't exist there. So we're really lucky. Mm-hmm. Very lucky with the system here.
The grant system is very open. And for example, in France, if you want to get some money to do a short or things like that, you have only one or two places where you can apply. And generally, you know, it's a men club. And women have to be really, really not only persistent, but straight and, you know, able to fit some stereotypes to get the money. And lesbian story, I have some dude.
Yeah.
You don't have to be quite so tough here, as I think that, because the grants are done by applications, I think you have to be a good writer. You have to be good at presenting your work. but you don't have to be quite that as tough, I think, as you need to be in a lot of other countries to be able to get the money together. And I think that that can make, that's why I think Canada makes good documentaries, because you're allowed to be sensitive, you're allowed to be not, I don't know, it's a polite way of saying it, but...
And you give the possibility to a lot of people, and after all, if there are, you know, 50 things were produced, on those 50 things you can count that it will be at least 15 who are good. When in France, a documentary is exclusively almost done for TV and by TV people, or, you know, and very rarely by independent. And perhaps there are 15 independent who can do a documentary on their own. And on those 15, then perhaps you have 5 who will be good. Then, you know, it's a, the opportunity in Canada is a lot bigger.
Mm-hmm. I asked you, I don't know how many minutes ago, what the next project was. Did we, I think we flew off on some tangent.
We have a couple of ideas, and we still, again, we have to begin
the persistent
back at
funding.
At the persistent funding technique. We have a couple of things that we know that we are interested in doing, but a lot of it, you have to be really realistic about where you're going to get the funding and how you're going to get the funding.
Yeah.
If we wanted to turn around and do a very experimental fiction work that was 45 minutes long, I can tell you right now we would not get the funding, because we would be slotted into the documentary sector. That's all you're capable of doing. I think that that kind of thing can happen very easily. And so I think we have to be realistic about what kind of monies we can get, especially since the first film was very small budget. They're not about to give us $500,000, so we might as well not start planning an international film about feminism, which would be great to do. I mean, it'd be absolutely fantastic to do something like that. But unless you get the support, say, of the NFB, it's impossible to ever execute that kind of thing. So we've got some smaller things, and we really have to work on trying to sell this particular film to pay the debt back. I don't want to do any more painting, and I don't want to do any more supply teaching. So, if we can. And there are certainly more festivals that have invited us, so we'll be probably going with the film to a few more places. And PBS,
okay, so where? Yeah. Where are you going to go with the film?
It's been accepted to the London Gay and Lesbian Film Festival. And
the New York Lesbian and Gay Festival?
That I'm not sure exactly, but it's sort of like, you know, I'm not exactly sure what's going to happen with that one. And it's being shown at the National Film Board in Toronto right now, actually on Thursday. And it'll probably be showing at the Euclid in Toronto. Just little things. Lots of universities have called to show it for sexuality conferences. And it's kind of like every other day a new thing comes in, even without doing any advertising or anything. So there's certainly a huge need. So other people get out there and do stuff. Any issue of lesbianism.
And you'll be back in Montreal next month?
For the 16th, there's a screening for the Imagination at the Cinematheque, I think, on the 16th of November.
I don't know if the Cinematheque or the NFB Theatre, actually.
It should be a great festival. Yeah, very exciting. We've got a great lineup of films.
Happy to enter.
Yeah, very happy. So.
I think we've covered it, unless you have any final...
Revelations?
Revelations.
No revelations. Not this morning.
Thank you both.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dewa.